Hey there, agility friend. If you've listened to a few of my podcast episodes, you know that I'm a huge fan of something called growth mindset. You can have access to the best instruction in the world, and you can have the best dog in the world, and the best skills in the world, but if you don't have a solid mindset and approach to the challenges that sport and life are going to toss your way, you're not going to be able to really make the most of all of those bests that you have, you know, best instruction, best dog, best skills, all that stuff. I'm so passionate about the importance of our mindset when it comes to dog agility and really everything in life that I've written an ebook about growth versus fixed mindset, what the hallmarks of those two mindsets are, and how one can really propel you along your agility journey and one may really be holding you back, maybe without you even being aware of it. That ebook is not for sale anywhere, but it is available for free to subscribers of my email list. So if you're curious about what a growth mindset is, what a fixed mindset is, and how to ensure that you've got the right mindset for making the most of your dog agility training and handling journey, head to podcast.theagilitychallenge.com and scroll down till you see the link to subscribe to my email list and get that ebook. It's totally free and it's a game changer. Check it out today at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. This is the Agility Challenge Podcast with Daisy Peel. You're listening to episode 3. Welcome to the Agility Challenge Podcast. I'm your host, Daisy Peel. Join me as I talk about everything related to the mental side of the sport of dog agility. If you've ever felt overwhelmed by negative self-talk or lack of confidence, or if your dog training to-do list seems so long that you don't even know where to get started, then this podcast is for you. For more podcast episodes, training content, and coaching from me, head to www.theagilitychallenge.com, where members get access to monthly training and handling challenges, in addition to league play and a whole lot more. Let's dive in with today's episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for listening and subscribing. We're already on episode 3. If you're listening for the first time and you like what you hear, please make sure you click subscribe in your podcast app so that you don't miss the next episode. If you've listened to the first few episodes and you're enjoying the podcast so far, I'd love for you to leave a review. I'd love your feedback. So it's a pretty nice day here in Ohio. It's winter. Everybody told me when I moved to the Midwest that winters were going to be terrible. And actually, the winters are pretty nice here. And of course, now everybody's telling me, well, this is not a normal winter. I'm not really sure what normal is anymore. But I'm actually looking forward to getting outside a little bit today. I'm also working on the podcast, obviously, and stuff for the Agility Challenge for February and prepping a few other things that I've got on my to-do list for 2023. But today I want to talk about scarcity, FOMO, and sparkly things. So if you've never heard the term FOMO, it means fear of missing out, FOMO. This is a topic that has come up in the Agility Challenge repeatedly, and it's one that can really affect all of us, myself included. So I know that it's one that we're going to enjoy talking about today. A lot of us connect and keep tabs on what's going on in our sport by heading to the internet and more specifically, social media. And that can be great when it comes to things like Facebook groups like the Agility Challenge or maybe a Facebook group or another online forum or group where events are posted. Maybe it's an email list where events are posted. And again, I keep talking about Facebook, but that's kind of the biggie. But pages and groups that post course maps where you know you can go and search for a course map to work on something specific, or a place online where you go to get information about seminars, events, online classes, and online courses and things like that. So what's the problem then if there's so much great stuff online? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. And this is where the scarcity and the FOMO comes into play. When you go online and you're looking for events or maybe course maps, you're also bombarded with advertisements that tell you if you don't take this class or you don't take this seminar, you're missing out on all of the secrets of dog agility. Don't miss out on this opportunity to work with this great seminar presenter. Don't miss out on this great online course where you're going to learn the secrets to insert topic here. You're also seeing a lot of social media posts with images and videos that are showing things like other handlers with their ribbons or their winning runs or results from big events. Some of those big events look amazing. Maybe we wish we could have gone to them. And we're also seeing a lot of imagery of handlers making skills that we might be struggling with personally look pretty easy. So right away, we can get very easily sucked into this, oh my gosh, look what they have that I don't have. I'm missing out. And to make it worse, our brains are really programmed to think automatically from a place of scarcity. We want what we don't have. We see things that we don't have or that our friends have, and we think I should have that too. It's really a survival tactic. Our primitive, I like to call it our lizard brain. We're kind of like pack rats or, you know, lizard brain, pack rat brain, however you want to think about it. But our brains are definitely programmed to think automatically from that place of scarcity. And it's absolutely a survival tactic. It helped us survive as a species to this point, to just grab things when we think there's not going to be much of them, or this is the last chance, or get it now, or limited supply. For some of us, it's worse than others. And for some times, it's worse for us than others. If we're tired or we've been struggling with something, it can be worse than other times. But for all of us, it's basically a protective strategy. And our brains do this to try and help us. And like I said, it's helped us survive as long as we have as a species so far. This concept of scarcity comes into play in all sorts of ways. And it's very easy to capitalize on this when it comes to marketing stuff to us to get us to buy stuff or consume stuff. And even furthermore, when it comes to social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, has kind of turned all of us into our own marketer of our own personal brand. So we're all on some level utilizing the language of scarcity to get people to engage with us on social media. When Facebook and other social media platforms have trained us to use the language of scarcity and FOMO and sparkly stuff to add filters to our videos, to make our images look better, to apply filters to make our skin look nicer, to only show our best side, and to use verbiage and the language of scarcity to get other people, whether it's our friends or just random people, to engage with us on social media. So when we get involved in this scarcity mindset without thinking consciously about it, often we can start to feel anxious. We don't want to miss out. Even if we see a course online, advertised online, that we know we don't really even need. So for example, let's say I see a course for solid start lines on the agility course, and I already know how to get a solid start line. I already know how to teach a solid sit stay. I know how to proof a solid sit stay. I know how to make it super fun for my dog to have a solid sit stay when all they want to do is come chase after me. I'm going to see this online course that's got this zappy intro video and sparkly language of scarcity, and I'm going to feel a little anxiety that I might be missing out on some tiny tip that could at some point really revolutionize my training in a way that's going to save me from discomfort or struggle. And that's where this comes back to growth mindset stuff that I'm always going to be coming back around to in this podcast. So we start to feel a little bit anxious, and we don't want to miss out on that one tiny tip that we might get. Even if we just sit back for 10 seconds and think, I already know how to train this. I've been doing this for years. I have rock solid sit stays. I've trained a number of dogs how to do sit stays. Maybe you're an instructor like me. You've trained students how to have rock solid sit stays, even when they don't believe that they can. And when we have those feelings of anxiety or we're missing out, they feel really true when they pop up, and they happen so automatically. We see it, and there's hardly any daylight between the thought and the feeling. It happens so automatically. This also happens when we see a handler. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody halfway across the globe. Maybe it's somebody we admire. We see a handler making a skill look easy on course. And maybe it's a skill that really for us requires conscious effort. It's not something that we have taught yet. Maybe we're struggling to teach it. Maybe we don't know how to teach it. And if we just, again, pause for a moment, most of us would recognize the effort that it took that handler to get to that level of proficiency. But in the moment, we see them sailing through a section on a course. We see this great video. Maybe it's from a great angle. We see them sailing through a section on course. And it can be really easy to just slip into the feeling of, oh man, I am just never going to be that good. That handler is making that look so easy. Is that video on fast forward? There, how could they be moving that fast? Did Facebook speed up this video? No, it's actually the right speed. Man, I'm never going to be that good. That level of skill is going to be so impossible for me to reach. Why should I even bother? So that's kind of the kicker, that last bit that I'm going to come back to. So we see people at competitions, they're posting video of competitions, they're posting group photos from competitions, they're posting podium shots from competitions where the courses look amazing, the competition looks amazing, the prizes look amazing, everybody's having a fantastic time. And maybe for us, we're sidelined by work, you know, the thing that pays for our dog sport habits, or we're sidelined with an injured dog, or sidelined with arguably more important things in life. Maybe we're caring for a family member, or we've got kids, or we just have other things going on in our life. But we see these opportunities that we're missing out on, even if we know consciously it's completely ridiculous and we know we should just congratulate these people. Cool. Look at this cool event that they had the opportunity to go to. How cool for them. Look at how well they did in this run. How cool for them. Man, they're doing great a lot. They must be working hard. So we see that. And even though on a conscious level, we know that we could take that tactic, usually what happens is instead of getting down to the task of learning from what other people are sharing and then digging down a little bit to figure out how they got where they are and how we can make ourselves progress with that information, our brains go to that scarcity place. So we get caught in this loop where scarcity, fear of missing out, and the constant bombardment with amazing results of others, it creates these feelings of anxiety, inadequacy, and apathy. It's a lot of internal drama, and really it can happen faster than you can snap your fingers. And again, our brains are hardwired to do this as a survival tactic, even if dog agility content on the internet really has nothing to do with our survival. And then, again, this happens pretty quickly, those feelings of anxiety, inadequacy, and apathy lead to actions like avoiding working on the training skills we know we need to work on, spending more time scrolling on social media, maybe heading to the cupboard for a snack. You don't really know why you want something sweet, but you're sitting there scrolling on social media and you see this all this cool stuff other people are doing and you feel like, man, I could have a cookie right now. Or, and probably nobody listening to this podcast, but you could get caught up in trash talking competitors. Oh, well, they're doing great, but they just cycle through dogs constantly. That's why they're doing so great. It comes out in a variety of ways. And then, of course, the result of our actions is that we don't actually make any actual progress in our handling or our training. And all of that action or inaction ends up serving as evidence to serve our feelings of anxiety, inadequacy, and apathy because our training doesn't actually get any better. Our handling doesn't actually get any better. We're not really sure where the time went, but it didn't go to training or handling. And it's a pretty vicious circle. So I want to bring back the thought model that I introduced in the first couple of episodes. And if you want to learn more about that, check out episode 1 and 2 of the podcast at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com/1 or /2, where our circumstances, which are the objective circumstances, in this case, social media, leads to thoughts. Thoughts like, man, look how amazing those handlers are. Look how cool these competitions are that people are going to. Look how cool this person's new puppy looks. Why can't I get a puppy that cool? Look at this cool online courses that's making promises to solve all my training problems if I just give my money and time toward it. And those thoughts lead to feelings, feelings like anxiety, inadequacy, apathy, maybe even some resentment or bitterness, could be inwardly directed or externally directed. And then those feelings lead to actions or inaction. Inaction, lack of action is also an action. And those actions or inaction give us results. And those results serve as evidence for the original thoughts and feelings. And of course, if we're sitting there thinking, man, I'm never going to be this good, I'm never going to be able to be that great of a handler, and then all of our feelings and actions drive us toward not taking action toward the sometimes uncomfortable process of trying and failing and trying and failing in actual training with our dogs, then we're not going to get any better. And that's going to be evidence for, see, I knew I wasn't going to get any better. So why bother? So how do we change this? How do we break out of this cycle? The first thing that we have to do is examine our thoughts and ask ourselves if those thoughts are really true. We got to ask ourselves some questions. Are those thoughts really true? And we have to also look at our beliefs. And our beliefs really are just the thoughts that we've had. So we've thought these thoughts so many times over and over that we believe them. We believe these thoughts to be true. It's not the circumstance, it's the thought. And when you were a kid, you were probably told what to believe by your parents or by the leading adult in your life. But now as an adult, as a grown-up, you get to inspect those beliefs and choose whether or not they're serving you and maybe change them, change your thoughts and change your beliefs. So you want to ask yourself, are these thoughts true? Am I really missing out? Do I really need to consume content, whether it's in the form of online courses or watching videos, in order to make the most of the knowledge that I have and the training time that I have with my dogs? Do I really need to consume more of this content in order to make the best use of my time? How do the beliefs that I hold, how do the beliefs that we hold in this case serve us? Does it serve us well to repeatedly think the thoughts that we think, given how they make us feel and the actions that they prompt us to take or not take? So if a thought leads me to feel anxious or inadequate or panicky, that's a big one, or vulnerable, is that thought, are those feelings, the anxiety, the inadequacy, panicky, and vulnerable, are those going to lead me to try and suck up more information? Or is it going to drive me out to my training space to put in the time and possibly experience some discomfort and failure as I work on actual handling and training issues with my dog? If my thoughts drive me to feelings that drive me to the actions of just continuing to sit in front of social media, scrolling endlessly, watching other people's successes, or trying to accumulate even more knowledge before I take action, then those thoughts and feelings are not serving me well. So what can you do about this? Well, first off, the first thing I want you to do is sit down and think about where this scarcity mentality is showing up in your dog training. Maybe some other parts of your life as well. Where is the scarcity mentality showing up in some other parts of your life, but specifically your dog training? And I want you to take some time to write down your thoughts and beliefs, which are just thoughts that you've repeated over and over again until you believe them. Think about, where do you experience scarcity or FOMO, fear of missing out? And then just write or type until you can't write or type anymore. Just maybe use the notes app on your phone or open up a blank document on your computer or go old school and grab a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil and just go for it. Do it for at least 5 to 10 minutes minimum. Just dump those thoughts out. Don't worry about grammar or spelling. You're not evaluating your writing skills here. What you're doing is evaluating your thoughts. So do that dump. And then sit back and look at those thoughts that you just dumped out of your head. And then we're going to plug those thoughts into that model that I just talked about. And then also you can find it podcast.theagilitychallenge.com/1. And see how each of those thoughts makes you feel and really explore it. Look at the thoughts that you dumped. How do each of those thoughts make you feel? Once you've sat for a while and looked at those thoughts and thought about how they made you feel, maybe you've experienced those feelings again just by thinking about, how does this make me feel? Then you feel that way. Then take the next step and think about what actions those thoughts lead you to. And remember, inaction is also an action. So if those feelings, maybe they're feelings of inadequacy or even worse, apathy, often inadequacy and apathy kind of get rolled in together. And apathy, you might feel apathy, but then when you explore it a little bit, you realize, man, this is inadequacy. Inadequacy, I'm experiencing it as apathy, and the apathy is leading me to scroll more. I'm sitting here doing nothing. That's inaction. Do those feelings lead you to gossip with your friends or engage in a little bit of trash talk? Do they lead you to the cupboard in your kitchen? Do they maybe lead you to, maybe I I don't want to sit here and scroll on social media. I'm going to get up and take my dogs for a walk. Or do they lead you to take action in your training and handling? And then what are the results of those actions? And while something like deciding, I don't want to sit here anymore, I need to go take a walk with my dogs, might be the healthier of some of those actions, it can also be avoidance. Does it actually lead you toward better handling and training? All of your actions take time, and time is one of your most precious resources. So how are you spending your time as a result of those thoughts and feelings? What are the results of how you're spending that time? How do those results serve as evidence, looping back, for the original thoughts and beliefs? So then the cool thing here is that you get to choose which thoughts to keep and which ones to change. It's simple, but of course it's not easy, or we would all do that all the time. It kind of involves constant reminder, like, oh yeah, I don't have to think that. I don't have to feel that. I don't have to be just a passive observer when it comes to my thoughts and feelings. I can passively observe them, but I can also take an active role in changing them. You can choose new thoughts, which will evoke different feelings that will lead to different actions that will lead to different results. And if that doesn't lead to the results you want, you can go back and change your thoughts again and change your feelings, which will change your feelings again and change your actions again and lead to different results. You can think these new thoughts over and over and over again until the new thoughts are new beliefs. And instead of maybe thinking, I'll never be as good as this handler that I see in this video on social media, you can choose to think, I can watch this handler's video. This is free instruction. I can look at this video from a little more objective point and see, okay, how did they make these choices? Why did they make these choices? I'm going to go set the, where can I find the map to this? I'm going to go set this up and try it. And then do that. You're going to scrutinize those videos and use them as a source for ideas, which is going to leave you feeling energized and empowered. And then importantly, you're going to walk away. You're going to stop listening to the messages of scarcity and remember and think, you know what? I have enough information to take some action on the training. I might not know how it's going to pan out, but I have enough information here to actually go do some training. And this is where another topic I talked about in episode 2, courage versus confidence, comes into play. Don't wait until you feel confident to take action. You just have to have some courage. You don't need to know if it's going to work to try it. You just try it. And then if it works, you can feel some confidence, or you can try again and try it better, or you can try it different. So you have enough information. You can remind yourself, I have enough information to take some action right now and get some feedback from myself and from my dog. And when you walk away and you take action to actually work on some training stuff with your dog or some handling stuff with your dog, you are not going to know what other people are doing. You're not going to know what courses they're running. And guess what? They're not going to know what you're doing either, because you're going to be out training and doing the actual work of maybe getting a little uncomfortable, trying and failing and learning and progressing and also having lots of fun. Actually doing the work of training and handling and making progress. Now, your brain is going to try to go back to the old way of thinking all the time. You're going to be on your way out the door to do some training, or heading away from your computer or your phone to do some training and think, oh, but I just need to check on this one person really quick and see what they're up to. I just need to check on this online class and see what the latest lesson is that just dropped. So your brain is going to try and go back to the old way of thinking all the time and rope you back in. And again, part of that is because it's comfortable. Not taking action is comfortable, and taking action can require some courage, especially if you don't have the confidence because you don't have a history of knowing how it's going to work out. So you're going to have to be kind to yourself and remind yourself, we're thinking a new way now. We're not thinking that way anymore. It's okay not to know what other people are doing. I need to know what I'm doing. It's comfortable to sit and choose inaction. It's comfortable to keep scrolling on social media. It's comfortable to gather information. It's comfortable to berate yourself for not being good enough. I know that sounds weird, but it's something that you know how to do. And it's comfortable to feel anxious about not having all the information. I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to get a little bit more information before. I just need a little bit more information. I just need to know 5 more ways to teach a sit stay before I actually go out and work on my sit stays. But instead, you're going to repeatedly choose the discomfort of progress and of trying and failing, because you know that that will lead to different results and you have the courage to find out. So looking at your thoughts and your beliefs and deciding to change them to thoughts and beliefs that serve you to feel in ways that lead you to take action are going to yield different results. And that's the way out of this vicious cycle. Now, I'm not promising you that you're going to like win nationals or win world championships. I don't necessarily mean that your different results are going to be right off the bat miraculous, but they're going to be different from what you're getting right now. And that's progress. It might be that you go out to work on something and it gets worse in the short term, but you're going to keep working on it and you're going to keep playing with it and you're going to keep trying and you're going to keep failing and you're going to keep reevaluating. And instead of sitting down on social media and thinking, oh, I don't know, maybe I just need to take five more online classes and then I'll figure it out. You're going to ask a trusted friend or a trusted instructor maybe for some help. You're maybe going to get some video of your training and then ask some pointed questions about it. That's the way out of this vicious cycle. That's the way out of all of that time that we spend doing nothing, which is in and of itself, that is action. Inaction is action, but it's just going to lead to the same results that you've always been getting. So that's it for today. I'd really love to know what you think about today's episode. I've had a lot of Agility Challenge members ask me to talk about this topic. I had it on my list of things to talk about pretty early on, and I'll probably come back to it. If you have questions about what we talked about today, or comments, or ideas about content that you'd like me to cover, maybe training ideas that you're struggling with, I'd love for you to put your comments in the show notes. If you're an Agility Challenge member, you can do that at the Agility Challenge. If you're just listening to the podcast and you're not a member yet, just head to podcast.theagilitychallenge.com/3. Leave your comments there. Until next week, I hope you guys have a great weekend and a wonderful week. I'm looking forward to some training time with my own dogs and to finishing up the February challenges for the Agility Challenge, my online program. If you enjoyed today's podcast and you've got somebody in mind who you're pretty sure could benefit from discussing the things we talked about today, head to the webpage for today's episode, podcast.theagilitychallenge.com/3, and scroll to the bottom. You'll see a section that says Share the Love that has some instructions and links for how to subscribe to and share this podcast, and also how to leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. I'm a pretty tech-savvy person, but even for me, it was a little tricky, so I've included a how-to link for you at the bottom of the page. So go ahead and head over to podcast.theagilitychallenge.com/3, subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and share it with a friend. Also, you can leave a comment below the episode and let me know your thoughts about what we discussed today. What did you think about the idea of scarcity, FOMO, and sparkly things? Where are you experiencing scarcity and FOMO and the fear of missing out and inadequacy and some of those feelings? I'd love to hear from you and maybe discuss your thoughts on a future episode. Thanks for joining me on the Agility Challenge podcast with Daisy Peel. If you'd like to take your agility training, handling, and mental game to the next level, check out that ebook that I mentioned at the top of the episode. You can get it for free at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. It's not for sale anywhere, and it's only available to subscribers of my email list. Getting on board with the right mindset when it comes to your dog agility handling and training challenges is a game changer, so make sure you check it out.